KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have mostly clear skies. As Kirsch mentioned, 28 degrees here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny today, a high of 51. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In area news, the Adair County Board of Supervisors will hold a special session this morning in Greenfield. The board will meet at 9 a.m. to hear fiscal year funding requests from the Ag Extension Office, Ag County Home Care, Adair County Health Systems, Matura, the Adair County Historical Society, and the Adair County Tourism Representatives. That meeting will be held in the courthouse in Greenfield, and I'll have more news in just a moment.
I'm so frustrated.
I have always had cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish Network. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions and just want to talk to a live person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish Network, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For a local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store. Store 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
The Atlantic Community School District Certified Collective Bargaining Unit, or CCBU, is scheduled to meet with the district's administrative team this afternoon. During that 4 o'clock session, the CCBU will present the association's opening proposal for the 2012-2013 negotiations. That meeting, which is open to the public, takes place in the boardroom at the Atlantic Middle School. The Audubon City Council will meet this evening at the City Hall in Audubon for a regularly scheduled session. And during that meeting, which begins at 7 p.m., the council will hear from Gail Richardson with regard to the library budget. There will also be discussion pertaining to parking in yards. During the last session in December, Councilman John Wetzel voiced his concerns about cars being parked in yards throughout the city of Audubon. Wetzel presented several pictures of vehicles being parked in the front and backyards at several residents, and he asked the council to consider passing some sort of ordinance keeping the vehicles on the streets. The council this evening will also hold discussion with regard to compensation practices. During their last session, the Audubon City Council voted 3-2 to give all city employees a 3% raise. Last year, each city employee received a $400 raise. Two council members who voted against the raise had wanted to wait until they found out what the city's health insurance costs were going to be. The raise will go into effect on July 1st. And the Messina City Council will meet in a regular session this evening. That meeting at City Hall begins at 7 o'clock, and during the meeting, the council will discuss and possibly act on matters that pertain to an electronic sign, the setting of a budget workshop date and time, City Hall and Centennial Park improvements, and an agreement with Railroad Management LLC in the city of Messina. There will also be reports from the city's water, wastewater, and street departments, MSA professionals, and continued discussion with regard to nuisance properties and junkyards. In state news, federal court filings show Iowa bankruptcies have dropped 19% over the last year from 2010, but the Des Moines Register reports cautious reaction to that seemingly good news. For example, bankruptcy trustee Don Nyman told the newspaper that he fears the dip might just be temporary. Consumer bankruptcies are down nearly 20% from the 2010 total, and Iowa business bankruptcies have fallen by nearly 7%. West Des Moines attorney Michael Mullaney is perplexed by the decline. He said the economy has improved, but not enough to warrant that kind of a reduction. Iowa's construction industry is far from recovery. The state lost 14,500 construction jobs through the recession and has regained only 3,400 of them. Lawmakers are opening another session to the legislature with hopes of making changes to Iowa's commercial property tax system, giving the state more control over mental health programs, and beginning a long process of overhauling Iowa's public schools. As the session convenes this morning, legislators of both parties say they agree on the need to make changes in those areas, even though they differ on some of the specifics. Republican Governor Terry Branstad says reductions in Iowa's commercial property tax rates are key to his effort to improve the state's business environment. The mental health reforms would shift control away from the state's 99 counties and institute a regional system, and proposed education changes would toughen standards for teachers and increase student testing. Well, dogs would no longer be allowed in some rental cabins at Iowa State Parks under a list of proposed changes compiled by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Currently, there are no restrictions on pets in state park cabins. Sherry Arnson with the DNR said they've seen an increase in complaints from renters about dogs and damage to cabins. One of the proposals would establish a non-refundable dog fee for cabin or hunt renters who bring in dogs.
That would be charged for anybody that's renting one of the designated pet cabins. And this would help offset the cost of extra cleaning time and materials that we would need after a renter vacated that had pets.
The proposed fee would be $25 for a two-night stay or $50 for three or more nights. Other possible changes would set a limit of two dogs per cabin and require that dogs be put in a crate or kennel when left unattended inside the cabin or a yurt. Yarnson said DNR staff would like to hear feedback from both dog owners and those renters who've raised concerns.
Whether it's they have allergies or they don't like the dogs that are barking if they're left alone outside of the cabin. So what we're trying to do is talk with the public and see what people's feelings are, and we'd like to be able to strike a balance between the two user groups that are either for it or against it.
Many states do not allow any pets in cabins. Dogs are currently allowed in all cabins or yurts located in 15 Iowa state parks. The proposed changes would designate some of those units as pet-free.
We have some that it's 25%, and we have some that are at 100%. And we want people to take a look at that and give us their comments. And based on all the comments that we received in additional discussion with our management team, we will look at whether or not we're going to go with what we're looking at or if we're going to modify it.
The DNR has also proposed changes related to rental fees and damage deposits for state park lodge facilities. The deadline to submit comments about the proposals is January 23rd. A public hearing will also be held at a date yet to be determined. Arnson said any changes won't be enacted until sometime in 2013. Many Midwesterners hope for a January thaw when the temperatures briefly inch above freezing, but this winter some are wondering if thaw will ever end. Temperatures have been higher than average for most of the winter. In the past week, they soared into the 50s and record-setting 60s in parts of Iowa and Nebraska. It has been a welcome, if somewhat bewildering, change from the recent frigid, snowy Januaries. We likely won't see any snow for at least the coming weeks, said Kevin Deitch, a forecaster with the National Weather Service in Des Moines. Temperatures likely will fall a bit, but they will remain in the 40s for much of the next 7 to 10 days, well above the normal of 31 for this time of year, and there's no significant chance of snow on the horizon. Although the spring-like temperatures are pleasant, they could be followed by weather more common to the upper Midwest, said Harry Hilliker, the state climatologist with the Iowa Department of Agriculture. Hilliker said history indicates that a warm December and January are often followed by a colder than average February and March. One extreme example was in early 1989, when very warm January weather came to an abrupt end in February, when the weather turned brutally cold. Hilliker said that year the average temperature in February was 15.2 degrees lower than January, causing the largest drop between two consecutive months on record. In Shenandoah of 1989, the temperature reached 70 degrees on January 31st, but fell to 11 the next morning and dropped to minus 14 on February 3rd of 1989. Taking a look at our national news headlines this hour, most of the Republican presidential candidates are focusing on southern New Hampshire ahead of tomorrow's primary. They plan to hit Manchester, Concord, Nashua, and other cities. Mitt Romney, who won last week's Iowa caucuses by 8 votes, holds a comfortable lead in pre-primary polls in the Granite State. Tensions between Iran and the U.S. are accelerating once again. Iranian state radio says a court has sentenced an American man to death after convicting him on charges of working for the CIA. Iran says as a former Marine, Amir Hekmati received special training and served at U.S. bases in Iraq and Afghanistan before heading to Iran for an alleged intelligence mission. His father has said he was visiting his grandmother's in Iran when he was arrested. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is expected to announce a 20-year ban on new mining claims on public land surrounding the Grand Canyon. Salazar has said that although uranium is an important part of a comprehensive energy strategy, the Grand Canyon is a national treasure that must be protected. And dozens of National Guard troops are helping residents in the Alaskan town of Cordova dig out from under more than 18 feet of snow. That amount of snow over the past weeks has collapsed roofs, triggered avalanches, and trapped some people in their homes. Guard troops couldn't reach the town until just yesterday. News time is 8:10.
HD, LED, LCD, DVR, Wi-Fi, DLNA, HDMI. Does this all sound like a foreign language to you? Technology today is moving at an incredible pace. Don't get left behind. The TV store can be your secret weapon to keeping up with the Joneses. As a Dish Network authorized retailer, we have all the latest and greatest technology. Everything from standard receivers to a top-of-the-line 922 receiver with a built-in Sling adapter, so you may watch your Dish Network on the go. Don't forget also to add Dish Network's Google TV so you can multitask by watching TV and surfing the web all at the same time. We have it all in stock, on display, and we have the know-how to explain it all. Whether you have simple questions about how to operate your Dish remote control or more technical questions about installation features, our knowledgeable staff always takes pride in helping you. We know it's hard to keep up with new technology, and that's what we're here for. So stop in and ask us questions, then go home and show off your incredible knowledge of technology. Dish Network currently has free installation, so come on by the TV store in Atlantic and get signed up today. We're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 243-3032. Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Some restrictions apply.
In our funeral announcements this morning, James Franklin Havoc, age 67, of Shenandoah, died Friday at his home. Funeral services for James Havoc will be today at 10 o'clock at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. William Matt Schreier, age 42, of Exira and formerly of Corning, died Thursday at his home in Exira. A massive Christian burial service for Matt Schreier will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Corning, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Exira in charge of arrangements. Anna Jean Ehrenholz, age 88, of Harlan, died Thursday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community in Harlan. Funeral services for Anna Jean Ehrenholz will be today at 2 o'clock at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Grace Stewart, age 82, of Panora, died Thursday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Grace Stewart will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Catherine K. Kathy Baldwin, age 64, of Harlan, died Friday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Memorial services for Kathy Baldwin will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Congregational United Church of Christ in Harlan. Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mary Bell Henley, age 96, of Siloam Springs, Arkansas, died December 30th in Arkansas. Graveside services for Mary Bell Henley will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. James Jim Matteson, age 63, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for Jim Matteson will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Arlene Reapy, age 95, of Griswold, died Thursday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Arlene Reapy will be on Friday at 10:30 at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold, with the Dune Funeral Home of Griswold in charge of arrangements. Leanna Jensen, age 104, of Harlan, died Saturday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Leanna Jensen are currently pending at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. James Lewis, age 54, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for James Lewis are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Maisie Rice, age 93, of Greenfield, died Sunday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Maisie Rice are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson, KJAN News.